Thank you, Mayor. All right. Good evening, fellas. So you've got a video here. Go ahead and play it, Chris. You may have entered the semester kind of like this. This is me flying through a zip line in Guatemala about 5 years ago after some work that I had done. And it's kind of like this Wednesday night thing. You may walk in here and you can't even see the end of the semester. You may think, this is crazy. It's like, what am I doing? But I'm going to jump on this zip line and it looks like it may be fun. I don't even know anybody I'm zipping with, but hey, I'm going to get in here and look around and man, I don't even know anybody. Or maybe as you came down to the end, you started realizing I can see where I'm going. I kind of like this. This is something I think I'm going to do again. Obviously, you came back for the week three. I'm grateful for that. At the end of this, all I could say was that was sweet. And I hope after this semester, that's what you say too. Not from an exhilaration of flying 1,760 feet on a zip line, which was crazy, I'll just be honest with you. But to say that was sweet. I hope that's how you feel. I'm grateful that you guys are here tonight. I think from the standpoint of how I want to start, though, I want to recognize my table leaders. And when I say my, I mean John McFessel and I have a group of men that I just want to recognize before we start. This doesn't happen unless you have table leaders. Fellowship Men works because of table leaders. There's going to be guys at your table tonight, as we talk about relating as brothers, that you're going to have somebody at your table that knows what that's about. You may have come into this room thinking, I don't really have brothers, but you have one in your table leader. You got one already. And I'm grateful that these guys would use their gifts, use their experience. There's men in here that have experience that I need. There's men at my table that are teaching me as the table leader, all right? But one of the greatest Christian abilities that we have is availability. And your table leader gives you that. So I just want to give it up for our table leaders tonight. Thank you, guys. So we're going to do a little bit of a review. Rory, the last couple of weeks, done a fantastic job. Rory, it has been good to get back into Genesis at the very beginning, right? He started at the very beginning of Genesis. And he talked about the example that we have in the Trinity at the very beginning, saying the Trinity, right? Created and cultivated, right? And then talked about how we are made in the image, right, of God. That's ours. We are creator. We're cultivators. I'm grateful for the way in week two that he talked about what relationships really are. It's not a topic of men probably going to discuss a whole lot. Oh, let's talk about relationships. But the way he did it, and then he talks about literally what they are, how do we mess them up? How do we have a hope in Jesus Christ that can fix relationships when we do mess them up? I'm grateful for the way Rory talked about mutual accommodation, to move towards someone else, to be for someone else, and how two people doing that, mutually accommodating, show what Christ is for us. That's what he did for us. There is no greater accommodation than Jesus Christ, right? For us. That's right. That's right. So weeks one and two, great start. Tonight, we're going to move forward a little bit, going further down the zip line just a little bit. And we're going to talk about relating as brothers. We've used the word brotherhood a lot. Tonight, we really start with that in mind. And we're going to go back to the beginning again. Okay. So back to Genesis. Okay. The garden. So that we set the stage. What's the setting? The garden. Okay? So who was in the garden? We know this. So I'm just going to kind of forward through it. We've got Adam and Eve. We've got the tree, right? You got the tree. You've got the serpent, who we know is Satan, right? you've got everything, right? They had everything, right? And yet they still fell to lies. Adam stood idly by, disobeyed God's command, and ate the fruit on the one tree, guys. They had everything but the one tree, and they fell. So this shows us how susceptible they were. In a perfect world, they were susceptible. Imagine where that puts us, right? In a non-perfect world, how do we really have a brotherhood? How does that work? I'm going to talk about that tonight, just a little bit, okay? So I can't imagine what it would be like if the doors opened back there and Adam walked through and he'd come around front. All of you would be dumbstruck. Obviously, I would too. We would pay very close attention to whatever Adam had to say. And I'm pretty sure in the very first few things he said, he would say, "Don't believe the lies. Don't believe the lies." So tonight, I want to talk a little bit about that, and then I want to encourage you on the other side. This is not a negative talk. This is going to be both sides. You can't understand grace until you understand what you were rescued from. So let's talk about the first part of that. Some of you guys may say, I'm not having trouble believing lies. That's not me. You may say, that's somebody else I have. That's my brother. You may think that you go a little bit further into kind of where you came from. You say, you know what? I kind of understand. I was born in sin. We all have a sin nature. If you don't believe you have a sin nature, come to my house. I have children. If you can't spot it from the very beginning when you tell them, don't do that, and then they look at you and they do exactly what you told them, obviously they're born with it. We're all born with it, right? That's from the fall. And what Rory said last week was really good. He talked about sin comes out of not trusting, right? We don't trust. And trust, not trusting, is rooted in what? In self. And self makes relationships confusing and painful. Self makes relationships confusing and painful. So before you start thinking, I'm not really having trouble with the whole concept of lies, let's think of it from a scriptural standpoint. The greats, as you look through the Old and the New Testament, and how sin and how lies deceived them. Think of it this way. I heard this example said, if sin deceived Adam, who was the first man, Abraham, who was the chosen man, David, who was the devoted man, Solomon, who was the wise man, Samson, who was the strongest man, Judas, who was the greedy man, Peter, who was the outspoken man, and Paul, who was the zealous man, it can outfox you too. It can overwhelm you. It can overthrow you. So with that, the backdrop tonight, what are some of the lies? Follow with me. This won't be all-encompassing. We only have a few minutes, right? We're not spending a semester on lies because we're going to spend some more time in truth here in just a little bit. But just to scratch the surface, y'all, I want you to think about this. One of the lies I think Satan wants us to believe is you are all alone. You may have thought that week one when you walked in here. Am I right? Anybody else walk in this room and think, I don't even know anybody here. I'm all alone. Some may go home tonight and say that. Some may go to work tomorrow and feel that. So you are all alone. Another problem that guys tend to have, especially myself, is I think that my problems are unique to me. Nobody else is probably dealing with the things I'm dealing with. My job problems, my marriage, my parenting, my finances, maybe school, maybe health, maybe family. Nobody really understands that because nobody else is probably going through it. you may be believing a lie that says your problems are your problems and really nobody else is like you. Maybe that's what you've heard. Maybe it's something simple, fellas. No one cares. This is a very, very up-in-your-face lie. But how many times do we get to a place where we're depressed? We're depressed. We think of self a lot. We think of, there's no way out of this. And there's nobody that's going to care. How many young people do we have in this room that have been this way for a while? How many people that get to a certain age and think, I don't really have anybody that cares about me anymore. I'm not sure anybody even notices if I come. No one cares. When you first came into Fellowship Men, maybe it was something as simple as, you know what, I'd like to do this, but I'm not sure that the investment into Wednesday nights is really worth my time. I'm not really sure this is going to pay off. Okay? Maybe it's that way in your relationships. Maybe it's that way with brotherhood. I'm not sure brotherhood is really where I want to go because right now my life's pretty good and I don't really see the value in that. It's probably not worth my time. That's another lie. Maybe it's you lack spiritual wisdom. You know what? There's no way you're going to ever do anything good for the kingdom because you don't have enough spiritual smarts. You know what? You're not a pastor. You can't say anything that's really going to be effective for the kingdom. I'm sure glad that's not true, fellas. I wouldn't be up here. Maybe it's the lie that says, you know what? You may hear it in your ears, in your heart saying, I know what I've done. There's no way that I even fit into a brotherhood. If they only knew what I had done, who I was, what I've been a part of, there's no way. These are just some of the lies, okay? Just some of the lies. Can you think of any others? I'm in control. That's good. Thank you. We're going to hit that in just a sec. Good. Any others? Think about them, because when we do our tables here in a little bit, you'll have the chance. There may be something that's a whole lot more important in your world than what I've brought up here. This is just some of them. The truth is, when you have a list like this, though, we can all be passive about it. You know, the four attributes of a godly man that we keep going over, the first one being reject passivity. Well, sometimes it's getting over that. It's saying, you know what? I'm going to deal with this. I know what I did in my past, and that's not who I am anymore, and God saved me from that, and I'm moving on. I don't believe that, okay? I may have just brought up something painful to somebody in here. It's not my intention. I'm not here to inflict trauma. My job is, I'm a nurse, so I do inflict trauma, but I try not to, because the greater good is to care for somebody. So you as my brothers, I want to help you get better. I want you to help me get better. Okay? So I want to be sensitive tonight if I've brought up something. But the truth is that whole dichotomy is why we need each other. It's why we need brothers. Okay? Your natural inclination tonight may be to be quiet. You may be passive tonight. I hope you don't remain silent. I hope you speak up. I hope you're bold at your tables. I hope you will not forget that God has brought you here tonight for a reason, okay? Let's look at the one thing that we know contains truth. And how do we combat this? How do you get ammunition to fire back at this whenever it comes to you? Where do you go? You go to the scriptures, right? So on your table, in the middle, there's a couple of papers, and it's going to cover the very first one that we come up with here, okay? Let's get to truth, right? So the first thing I want to combat lies with
is you are not, I repeat, you are not alone. This is not a Michael Jackson song, okay? We're not playing that kind of game tonight. We're speaking from the words of Scripture. This is really, really important because when that lie comes in, you need to combat it really quickly. On that sheet there, you'll see, I think there's what, six? But I've got three. Let's see here. I've got three. Read this with me, guys. Say, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He's with you. The thought that you're alone goes away when you say scripture like that. Say it out loud. He's with you. He's talking to his people. He's with you. Let me read this for you. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Look at what he's doing. This is active, right? Look at the next one. Be strong and courageous. You see the theme? This is over and over. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. There's more on the list, guys, that you have at your table. If you need ammunition, then don't lose that. And know where to go when you open up the truth to combat that first lie. Okay? I heard it said today, actually, there's no place in this world that can restrain us from his presence, speaking of God, or his spirit from us. He can hear us and help us in all places, everywhere you go. That's beautiful, isn't it? That's good. The second truth I want you guys to hold on tonight is this. We all are dealing with the effects of Genesis 3, okay? We're all dealing with the fallout. So you don't have to take that on your own shoulders. We're all dealing with sin, and you need to call it for what it is. It's not some magical, misty, call it sin, because that's what you're dealing with. That's what I'm dealing with. Scripture is very clear that there wasn't any problems before they disobeyed God. They had everything, and there wasn't a problem in the garden. But after that, there were problems, right? The question is, has God put anyone into your life, maybe even at your table, that's helping you not make these mistakes? Older men, God's put you in some of these younger men's life to speak truth, to keep them in the position that they won't make the same mistakes that you made. Maybe someone at your table. That's why this is so important on a weekly basis. I'm grateful for our tables. I'm hoping that we realize that this isn't just about the big things either, guys. Some of you might say, well, I haven't done, you know, something that's upset the whole apple cart. It's also about the mundane, everyday little stuff that may not pop up on the radar that you know about, okay? But you have a brotherhood, hopefully, at your table now, and you can all share. You know what? We're all sinners, and that's how we view each other. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. Let's work together. We're all in this, right? And that's kind of where we are in the third one. We're all in the what? We're in the same boat, right? For my fishermen out there, we're all in the same boat. What boat is that? Scripture's clear on this too. Look at, I'm sorry. Sorry about that. This is the same thing that we talked about earlier. We're all in the boat that has financial trouble, marital trouble, personal struggles, emotional struggles, financial struggles, you name it. We're all having them. They may not be to the same degree, and it may not be in the same time of your life, but we all have the same struggles in one way or another. So how does that play out? So what? So what, Matt? So we have the same struggles. Well, that should lead you to a place where you realize we need help. As you get older and you mature, you realize I'm not going to fix all this, right? I'm going to look for somebody else that has some answers. I'm going to look to the example in Scripture of our true brother. How did this work? How do we deal with life's struggles, right? I like the way that Jesus puts it. John 14 says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And all three of those are very important because we're living in a world where they're telling you a lot of ways and a lot of truth and a lot of life, right? But you got to know exactly where it lies, okay? Not lies, but where it lies, right? Okay? All right, let's move on. God has created us to need each other. Do you believe this? I hope so. We gain a backing in Scripture on this. If you look at Hebrews here, it says, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. So we're here to encourage each other. We're here to keep our hearts from just falling into sin. We need each other. You know, Larry Crabb, one of the authors that Rory has quoted in the last couple weeks, he makes a statement that says, brothers encouraged by sharing our struggles by walking with us. Brothers encouraged by sharing our struggles by walking with us. What does that look like for you? For me, about 10 years ago, that got really real because I was a guy that I thought I had a pretty good job, loved my church, loved my wife, had two kids, was pretty healthy. I had the world by the tail. And then pretty sudden, I was on bottom. I was rock bottom. I became a single dad of two. What seemed to be overnight. Guys, there were days where I got up and I had no idea what to think, what to eat, where to go, what to say, how to feel. I could watch SportsCenter five times in a row and didn't care. I was in a dark place. But I had a brother come to me, and he showed me what the other side looked like. He showed me what it could be when rock bottom happened. The Lord sent me a brother that said, you know what? I'm going to show you the other side of this because I couldn't see the other side of it. I had no idea. 85, 90% of my energy was emotions. I was empty. This guy named Kerwin came in and he helped me in those four ways that we were teaching, those four attributes of a godly man, how to reject passivity, how to accept responsibility, how to lead courageously, how to invest eternally. We're going to go into that a little bit more tonight. Listen to me. The truth is, I've always been cultivating and creating things, but the outcome isn't always what I thought it was going to be. You hear what I'm saying? I've been creating and cultivating a lot of things, but sometimes the outcome's not what I expected. This is where trust and faith comes in. Roy's been talking about this trust in the last 2 weeks. I'm so grateful for it because this is real life, men. Do you believe God can make all things new? You bet he can. Do you believe that he who began a good work will complete it? You bet. You get in the Scriptures and you read that all things work together, not most things, not the things that I want, not the things that I asked him to, but all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Hold on to that, fellas. As brothers, that's where it's at. Most men don't have brothers that will share their struggles, and therefore they live with secrets that are deadly to our calling as men. You see what I'm saying? If you don't have a brotherhood, you're liable to hold secrets, and that may eat you from inside out. Remember, Jesus, the perfect man, had how many disciples? 12, right? He had a brotherhood. The perfect man had a brotherhood. And then he actually had an inner circle too, right? Right? It's okay to have a brotherhood. It's actually a good thing. It's a godly thing. The thing that I like about that is they weren't all people from his same profession. They weren't from his town, right? They weren't all from maybe the same socioeconomic background. They didn't have the same education. He actually had one that he knew he was going to disagree with before he befriended him, right? Brotherhood. Whew. And they were ordinary. These were not your men's ministry dream team, right? They were ordinary. I celebrate the fact that this room is full of ordinary. That's not a slap. That's a compliment. God's going to use ordinary men for his purpose, just like he did. We're a part of that. So we use Jesus as our example. Don't forget, you go in the scriptures and you find the Garden of Gethsemane. How many people did he bring with him? Said, I need you to pray. He wasn't alone. He asked them to come with him. Right? So I'm about to bring it home, all right? If you don't hear another thing I say tonight, hear this, okay? Pay attention to this. The life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus frees us from the need to keep secrets so that we can have and be brothers. I'm going to say something a little edgy here. You were not put on this earth to get married, to be sons, to be brothers. You were put on this earth to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And a byproduct of that, or a blessing, is the other relationships. You were here for one purpose, and he can make many purposes out of the one, okay? But think about what the one has to be before the other come into play, all right? Because I don't want to get the cart before the horse here. I tell you to get a brotherhood going, well, you need to have the main relationship first, right? I'd like to say that I could stand up here and say that I've got it together. That'd be a facade. I'd like to tell you that I don't have stress, but join my table and I'll tell you more about it. It's not true. I need the gospel as much as anybody in this room today, right? Today. And my brotherhood needs that as well. Before I get to that, one more statement here. Once we really understand that we are fully known by God, once we really understand that he fully knows us, the other relationships that we talked about, they work. They make sense. But you have to realize you are fully known by God before you really understand how things work. Don't get that mixed up. If you're wondering why things don't work, and you have no inclination of having a relationship with God our Father, start with that. Go straight to the cross. Go straight to God. Go straight to Jesus, the perfect man who shows us what a brotherhood looked like. Okay? So finding and being brothers for one another is going to help us move into the chaos that Rory's been talking about. So how does that look? Here's some examples. What do brothers do? I'd love to get a lot of feedback from you, but I'm going to leave this for your table, okay? Let's start with this. Brothers do this. They help you by sharing life experience with you. And this doesn't have to be something deep, y'all, but it can be oh so deep if it needs to be. I had a couple of guys 4 or 5 years ago ask me, hey, you want to join a deer lease? That's funny if you knew me, because I'm not a hunter, but I wanted to be a part of the group. And they said, we'll teach you what you need to know. And 4 years later, I'm hunting. Right? Yeah, it's comical. And I'm trying to teach my boys how to hunt, which is even more fun. That's a different kind of brotherhood. Brothers help point out blind spots. I think we would be honest and say we have blind spots. Sometimes our family points that out. But I think a brother can point that out in a special way. You know, I was telling you about 10 years ago, but probably 15, 16, 17 years ago when I was in my mid-20s, I was more of a sarcastic, slapstick, kind of quick-witty guy. I don't know if I got it from TV or what, but that's how my comic side of me was. And I had a wise man pull me aside and say, and he had seen what kind of my tendency was, and he said, Matt, don't ever include your wife in any of your jokes. Ever, ever, ever. And I thought, but they're good, and they're funny, and she likes them. But the one time that switch flips and it's not funny anymore, and I don't realize it, and it maybe stays on the radar, but I'm funny. But I had a man point out a blind spot to me. I'm not saying that's your blind spot. For me, that's what it was. I had no idea. And boy, that has made a difference in my life, my marriage for sure. What do brothers do? That not only share a life experience with you and point out blind spots, but they cheer you on. I just told you some kind of the hard part where they have to tell you, hey, you know what? You don't need to look at that woman. You're married. And now they're saying, you know what? I like the way you treat your wife. You honor your wife by the way you speak about her. You know what? I see the way that you treat children, and you just have a caring way of investing in them. You know what? I see the way you work, and you're honest, and your speech is really admirable because I've seen you get mad, and you don't cross a line. And I want to be more like that. It's like you're not even a pastor, and you really know the scripture. I want to just say how awesome that is. Cheer you on. They want to cheer you on. What do brothers do? They provide a go-to when life happens. This is probably one of the more obvious ones for you. For me, it was 13 years ago when my second son was born, and I wound up at Children's Hospital for the first night and for the next 2 weeks in the ICU, not knowing whether he was going to make it or not. He was born with multiple health concerns, of which we had no idea were coming. But I had a neurosurgeon tell me, I don't know how this is going to turn out. But I had brothers show up in the ICU waiting room. I had people drive from out of state. I had people around the world praying. Oh, they come through for you when life happens. Last one. What do brothers do? They provide a go-to. I'm sorry. They remind us of truth. They help us believe truth. We focused on the lies earlier. Isn't it nice when you have a man at your table to say, you know what? Go back to the truth. Do you remember the truth? Here's the truth. Oh, that is so valuable. And they point you back to Jesus. That's the important part. They point you back to the gospel. All right? So how does brotherhood fit into the four attributes that we talked about? Reject passivity? Real quick, fellas. And I'm going to let you have your table time. That's real important to us. But reject passivity is what this looks like. When you walk through the door, instead of staying at home doing whatever you wanted tonight, you were rejecting passivity. When you came as a table leader to talk to men, maybe even about serious stuff, you reject passivity. I respect that. this whole group here tonight in one accord is rejecting passivity. You know, our culture today tells us if you don't look the same, if you don't sound the same, if you maybe you don't believe the same, there's chasms and you just can't be brothers. Reject that. That's not true. I'm not like most of the men at my table, and I celebrate that. And anybody at a table where everybody's just like them? Hope not. That's good. That's good. Accept responsibility, gentlemen. How does this look in a brotherhood? Well, I'm going to lump a group together right now. If you're over 50 in this room, not only do you have wisdom galore from life experience, but more than likely, you help on both sides of the spectrum. You can say, like Adam, don't believe lies, right? And then you can encourage with truth because you've been there. A 25-year-old has half the experience. They need to hear that. So they accept responsibility. I'm going to ask you right now, whether you're 25 or 50 or 60 or 70, are you doing this? Do you have someone in your life that you're investing in? Do you take responsibility for the gifts that the Lord's given you? Do you take responsibility for the truth that He's entrusted you with? Kind of a Paul-Timothy relationship, right? Have you done any of that? Let me encourage you. That's part of this brotherhood. Real quick, we're going to lead off here. Lead courageously. How do you do that in the context of a brotherhood? Well, I'll tell you tonight, I bet you there's somebody at your table that's not scared to talk about what the Lord's done in their life. You lead courageously by telling your story. See what I'm saying? Because you all have one, and it all matters because we're all in the same boat, right? And we're all under the same effect of what? Sin. Tell your story. Lead courageously. It doesn't matter if you have seniority at your table. Blow them away. Tell them your story. Tell them when you hit rock bottom and how the Lord brought you up, put you on a rock, gave you a song, and you're singing it now. Tell them. Lead courageously. And the last one, invest eternally. I think a lot of you are doing this by being here, my table leaders and my future table leaders. You're investing in something that you may not even see in this life. You may share a seed of the gospel and never know whether it grows or not. They may come one week and they may not come the next, and you don't know what that conversation where you just told them your story actually had an effect or whether it scared them off. The truth is, you're called to do what? Throw out the seed, all right? Invest. Invest. Because the truth is, who's going to grow the seed? Is it you? Thankfully not, right? But we're all in trouble. So the last thing here that's real important is this. I want to close with this because I've got a room of brothers here. I'm excited about being in a room of brothers where we know each other. You're not in a room at the beginning of the zip line anymore. You're halfway down the line. You should have seen past the clouds at the beginning, and you may be even seeing that 500-foot canyon below you now. The truth is, your relationships as brotherhood occur because of the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, then a brotherhood is possible. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, okay, a brotherhood is not your main concern. Does that make sense? You're not here, put on this earth, for a brotherhood priority. You're here for a relationship with Jesus. And He's going to give you a brotherhood like you've never had. You believe that? It's possible in this room that there will be a brotherhood like you've never had. We want to give you time tonight to dig a little deeper. There's questions on the back of that page. Hopefully there's something that's helpful. If not, your table leader is available. They have that gift. Use them. Pick their brain. If you feel like there's experience that needs to be fleshed out, feel free to do that. Men, thank you for listening. Go ahead. Thank you.